Welcome to episode 11 of Contain This, brought to you by the Indo-Pacific Centre for Health Security. I'm your host, Adam Craig. Today on the show, we have Leanne Robinson and Moses Lahman. Leanne is one of Australia's leading vector-borne disease researchers. She is the head of the Vector-Borne Disease and Tropical Public Health Group at the Burnet Institute in Melbourne. She has spent 10 years living and working in PNG. In parallel to her groundbreaking research, Leanne is committed to developing national capacity to conduct research across the countries of the Indo-Pacific. Moses is a Principal Research Fellow and the current head of the Vector-Borne Disease Unit at the Papua New Guinea Institute for Medical Research. He's a young affiliate of the Third World Academy of Science, a general paediatrician, and an adjunct senior research fellow at the School of Medicine and Pharmacology at the University of Western Australia. Over the past 12 years, Moses has led multiple studies of malaria and other diseases of public health importance. He collaborates widely, bringing both his scientific knowledge and his in-depth understanding of the Melanesian culture, values, and relationships to the project teams he's worked with. In this episode, we discuss the emergence of drug-resistant malaria in PNG and the work Leanne and Moses are involved in through the Strive PNG project, a project that builds on decades of close working ties between PNG and Australian scientists, and an initiative that the Indo-Pacific Centre for Health Security is proud to have helped establish. In the past 10 days, the total number of COVID-19 cases in PNG has risen past 60 as the country works to contain the outbreak. The PNG government is assessing the situation and, alongside the WHO, the Australian government and other development partners, is bolstering emergency response efforts. This interview was recorded before the current increase in COVID-19 cases in PNG. It shows how strong relationships have been built between Australian institutions and the PNG government to anticipate, avert and arrest infectious diseases within the country. I'm your host, Adam Craig. Leanne, Moses, welcome to Contain This.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks very much.
You guys have worked together for quite a while now. Can you tell me how you first met? Start with you, Leanne.
Yeah, absolutely. I met Moses when I moved to Madang in early 2009 to work full-time with the PNG Institute of Medical Research. Moses was leading hospital-based studies of severe childhood illness at Modelon Hospital, as well as anti-malarial drug trials at Alexishaven on the north coast of PNG. And I was moving to PNG and the IMR to work with the immunology and epidemiology groups and undertake some detailed studies of the epidemiology of malaria in children, in particular in Maprik and Madang. And I think, you know, our research careers have, you know, very much developed in parallel. And I, you know, we've been able to really support and bounce off each other's strengths in different areas. And Moses certainly across my entire period of, you know, working in Madang and PNG has been an incredible supporter, advisor and colleague, and that continues. I'm very grateful for that.
Sounds like a good relationship. Moses, what's your area of research?
I started off, like Leon said, doing clinical research in hospital-based studies of severe childhood illnesses, severe malaria at the time. And then I went into doing drug trials as part of my PhD. And when I returned, through the collaborations, particularly with Leanne, that we have developed over the years, we have been doing all these field-based epidemiological studies and setting up the molecular app that has enabled us to go into all the work that we are doing now as part of the Strive program, as well as other programs that we have been leading over the past couple of years together.
We'll get on to Strive in a second. You're both leading important research into vector-borne diseases in PNG. Could you start by describing what a vector-borne disease is and outlining the importance of vector-borne diseases in PNG?
Okay, so yeah, in the context of PNG as a tropical country, vector-borne diseases mainly refer to mosquito-borne diseases like malaria, lymphatic filariasis, and dengue, as well as other arboviruses that are transmitted by mosquito vectors. And they're really important for PNG because they cause a lot of disease, illness, as well as complications of these illnesses, depending on the disease. For example, malaria usually affects the vulnerable young children and pregnant women as well, while lymphatic filariasis is mostly a neglected disease that has been around for many years, and it affects particularly adult young men more than ladies and the younger children. and it causes severe morbidity in this setting. And it has been a major problem for many years. And dengue has been around, but little research as well as work has been done to really understand the burden of dengue in this setting. And we've been, in recent years, trying to investigate the burden of these vector-borne diseases in this setting.
The Pacific region has obviously seen a number of vector-borne diseases emerge over the recent years, over the last 5 or 10 years, including Zika and chikungunya. Has that affected PNG at all?
Yes, we've had recent outbreaks of Zika not so long ago. About 2-3 years ago, we've had major outbreaks of chikungunya. And in terms of Zika, this is a virus that has been understudied or investigated in our setting. And again, this is one of the diseases that we are now trying to investigate as part of the STRIVE program.
You mentioned a few times that there's a need for more investigation into some of these emerging and less obvious arboviral diseases. Liang, could you talk a little bit about what some of those challenges are?
Yeah, I think as Moses has said, you know, in PNG, it's that sort of a tropical setting with, you know, a large rural population living in very close proximity to the environment, to natural vegetation, the perfect breeding grounds for mosquitoes that transmit malaria and dengue. And I think the need to sort of, you know, work with partners to sort of strengthen strategies for being able to know when there's an outbreak of some of these pathogens, particularly dengue, to be able to strengthen access to data in real time in a health system like PNG has been identified for many years as being a crucial priority, not only to better understand the distribution and burden of these pathogens, but also to be able to be better equipped to limit their spread.
Yeah. I've been doing some work in both PNG, but also the Solomons around electronic health information systems and their use for surveillance. Is anything happening in PNG around use of e-health or e-surveillance in the vector-borne disease space?
Yeah, so the PNG system used ENHIS.
Moses, just let me interrupt you there.
Yep.
The ENHIS is the Electronic National Health Information System, or the electronic system used to collect and collate patients' health records and health facility data.
Yeah, so there's so many challenges. Many of those probably you're familiar with, but this relates to some of what Lian has been mentioned. Most of the data is not real time. There's a backlog of data coming in, sometimes going back to so many months. And so many times if there is an outbreak, it is usually detected after it has come and gone. And so this is not an ideal situation. And so there are many challenges with regards to making this becoming an effective system.
Yeah, you're right, isn't it? It's getting that balance between good surveillance and then the capacity to respond. And in places like PNG and other Pacific Islands, you know, that capacity really needs to be at the subnational level.
Yep.
You're co-primary investigators of the Australian-funded STRIVE PNG project. What is STRIVE and what does it stand for? And what are its key aims?
So STRIVE PNG stands for Stronger Surveillance and Systems Support for Rapid Identification and Containment of Resurgent or Resistant Vector-Borne Pathogens in Papua New Guinea.
That's a mouthful.
So you can see why we badly needed a nice acronym for this project. The key aims and goals of STRIVE, you know, is to strengthen PNG's vector-borne disease surveillance and outbreak response capacity through piloting a real-time integrated sentinel surveillance system. The key aims, you know, are to kind of be able to establish this integrated real-time surveillance mapping system that will overlay, you know, molecular monitoring of vector-borne pathogens and in particular anti-malarial drug resistance markers, as well as information about the abundance of local anopheline and Aedes mosquito vectors, you know, that drive the transmission of malaria and arboviruses, and their insecticide resistance profile.
Wow, so it's really bringing together a whole bunch of information, molecular, but also epidemiological and surveillance data into one space. And you mentioned mapping. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so Strive has adopted the Tupaia platform developed by Beyond Essential Systems to link febrile illness surveillance data with diagnostic test results and the parasite genomic data, mosquito abundance and insecticide resistance data to the village or kind of in urban sites, you know, the residential block where patients are residing when they present to their local health facility. So in this way, we are providing provincial and district and national health teams not only dashboards that can provide real-time information on the rate of febrile illness, malaria specific febrile illness, and the abundance of mosquitoes in these areas, but also mapping it, you know, to the actual residential areas to see if there is a signal emerging in a particular location that could then be used to guide decision making.
Yeah, there's a lot of work, and for good reason, going into strengthening national government's ability to use data to make decisions. And I know DFAT's really, really supportive of some of the workforce initiatives that strengthen capacity within countries, initiatives such as the Field Epidemiology Training Program that's been rolled out in PNG for many years and soon to be rolled out in the Solomons, and the work of the Secretariat of the Pacific Communities in training people of how to use and manipulate data to inform decision-making.
Drug-resistant malaria is a growing concern in PNG. What is drug resistance and why is it so important, Leanne?
So anti-malarial drug resistance is the ability of a particular parasite strain to survive or multiply despite the proper administration and absorption of an anti-malarial drug at the recommended dose. And this can lead to delayed parasite clearance, you know, therefore allowing the parasite to survive longer in the presence of drug and to transmit to form the sexual stage of the parasite, which can be taken up in a mosquito blood meal and then transmitted, you know, throughout the population and ultimately lead to treatment failure. I guess, you know, why is it so important? I think history has shown us that resistance to anti-malarial drugs is a major threat to the control and elimination of malaria. And the greatest problem at the moment is really being seen, you know, in the Greater Mekong sub-region where parasites, you know, have emerged that have Kelch 13 mutations that are associated with both in vitro and clinical artemisinin resistance. And the dominance of this mutation in parasites in that region, you know, has also allowed or promoted the emergence of resistance in partner drugs. So the drug that is that sits alongside the artemisinin derivative to try and actually get around the emergence of drug resistance and ensure complete treatment.
So just to clarify, a Kelch 13 mutation is a genetic mutation on a strain of the parasite that causes malaria that's also associated with failure of the most common drug treatment for malaria, the artemisinin treatment. Leanne, let me start with you. And Moses, please chip in. Could you explain for us how you go about doing surveillance for drug-resistant malaria in a context as complex as PNG?
There are two main ways of monitoring the prevalence of drug resistance in malaria endemic settings. And one is through conducting therapeutic efficacy studies.
What does that mean?
I'm actually going to start, but then I think Moses is in a really strong position to kind of discuss this in more detail. As you know, he's been leading many of these studies with the National Department of Health. This means monitoring individuals after they've received anti-malarial treatment at defined a number of days post-treatment to see whether or not they have effectively cleared their parasite. Mm-hmm. Moses, do you want to add on to that?
Yeah. Okay. So the two ways that Leon mentioned, the therapeutic efficacy study is to monitor the how well the first line drug is still working in terms of treating malaria. And these patients who have malaria usually followed up on certain time points based on WHO protocol, so that this PNG data is comparable to other parts of the world, to make sure the malaria doesn't they're not sick again, because if they're sick again, then they need to be sampled and confirmed if this parasite that is now causing them to be sick again is a new infection, it's a reinfection, or is it the same parasite coming back because it is a drug-resistant malaria. So it's the therapeutic efficacy study. And the other point might go back to Leon, is the investigating molecular markers of drug resistance. In this case, artemisinin is the first line. Artemether lumefantrine is the first line drug in Papua New Guinea currently used, and monitoring the molecular marker of drug resistance is the calstatin gene that we are doing as part of the STRIVE work, monitoring calstatin in the sentinel sites that we are working in.
Okay, so there's the clinical side of things. There's a clinical investigation, and then there's this molecular levels work that's been done, presumably in the Institute for Medical Research in country. So what is the burden of drug-resistant malaria in PNG?
Depends on the type of drug you're using as first line. In the past 10 years, where chloroquine or amodioquine, as well as fensida, alfadoxin, pyrimethamine were used, the drug resistance rates were so high to a level where the drug is no longer effective. It was at rates depending on the on the species as well, but it was as high as above the 10% resistance level that WHO recommends for change of treatment. And during those days, treatment failures were so high. In the recent, the change of standard treatment guidelines happened, and Papua New Guinea changed, as well as many other endemic countries changed to using the artemisinin-based combination therapies. In PNG, artemether lumefantrine was chosen as the first-line therapy. And since then, we have not seen any clinical failures to artemether lumefantrine, but we are finding markers of resistance. The calstatin already present in proportions that are already significant, also depending on location. For example, in some settings along the north coast of PNG, the rates are higher than in other settings, for example, the southern part of PNG. But this is preliminary data, and the work is ongoing. And so the rates will be changing from time to time. But Leon, would you like to add more on that?
Yeah, I think just to say that is obviously the strengthening the surveillance of genetic markers of resistance for Kelch-13, and in particular the C580Y variant that's been very well characterized as being associated with delayed parasite clearance. That's been incredibly well characterized in the Greater Mekong subregion as being associated with delayed parasite clearance. And this is now the sort of dominant artemisinin resistant allele in that region. Mm-hmm. And so that's always a real focus in other settings when you're doing this type of surveillance for resistance markers is looking for that particular mutation. But there are also others in the Kelch-13 that can also be associated. And as Moses said, I think a really key priority of STRIVE has been to strengthen the capacity in PNG across multiple partner organisations, to be able to undertake this closer to real-time characterization of the markers of resistance so that that information, you know, can also be used to inform the therapeutic efficacy studies, which the program undertakes with WHO, you know, periodically to sort of inform where those studies, you know, should be done in order to actually monitor the clinical efficacy of the treatment.
Right. That's a really nice segue into a more in-depth discussion about what STRIVE-PNG is actually doing. Could you outline for us some of the actions of the group? Moses, can I start with you?
Okay, so with regards to some of the actions of the group, there are a lot of things happening as part of STRIVE PNG. The surveillance and testing for rates of febrile illness, that is already happening in 6 sentinel sites around the country. Those sentinel sites are also strategically located, where we have a couple of them. One we are still in the process of establishing in border provinces, and the other one set up in major ports like in Leh, the border provinces of West Sepik province, and we're in the process of establishing one in Western province.
Leanne, I know you guys have made a real effort to both understand local contexts and to help address local needs. Could you expand on this for us and explain why taking this approach is so important to the project's success and its long-term sustainability?
Yeah, so I think it's always been really important part of STRIVE, you know, from the outset, to really, you know, ask these questions and embed the implementation of this program, you know, into the health system in a way that will be informative in terms of, you know, what components, you know, could potentially be taken up to be a really sustainable way of strengthening a vector-borne disease, you know, sentinel surveillance program in PNG. And so to that end, there's been an acknowledgement that it's really important to capture some detailed insights from staff at the health facilities, as well as the local district and provincial health authorities, as well as the program managers and staff at the national level, around the current way that disease reporting for malaria and other arboviruses, you know, is done within health facilities, and how can we ensure that by layering in a program like STRIVE with this integrated surveillance aim, you know, it can be done in a way that improves support to frontline health workers and disease control officers at the provincial level, and not overburdens them, you know, with another responsibility, you know, but takes that into account to be able to provide evidence to decision makers at the provincial and national level around how they could or would maybe take some of the implementation of this program forward to be a sustainable part of their vector-borne program.
You've mentioned a few times that the system is sentinel, moving from 6 up to 8 and potentially more sites. In PNG, a lot of the population live in rural areas. What challenges does that pose to a project like STRIVE?
The challenges that PNG face, I guess, are not so different to many other developing countries. At the end of the day, it usually comes down to capacity, whether we're able to implement using the tools we have and whether those tools are relevant or not for PNG. Probably not so much relevant, but appropriate or not, as well as the HR, the human resource, and the people with the appropriate skills that you might find in rural settings. That's a big challenge as well. And we have the commitment and willingness to stay there and work in those settings, and also to sustain implementation of surveillance. Of course, financing is a major challenge for many developing countries to be able to make sure we're able to implement the type of program that we are doing in a more sustainable manner. And because the health system in PNG is so decentralized, everything hangs on relationships. It's really important to have a genuine relationship with everyone from the national level down to the provincial level, as well as to the health facility level. And so those are challenges that we often deal with every day. Many times, those things are considered little things, but they have a big impact if they are not handled in an appropriate manner.
Yeah, Moses, you articulate so clearly the plethora of challenges that need to be overcome to implement any program, let alone a nationwide program which is collecting such valuable data, and that's not fully understood often by those in Australia and elsewhere, how hard it is to ensure that everything is working and why it's important to start small and build over time. So obviously the work that Strive is doing is growing, which is wonderful. Can I ask you, Moses, is there a role for community participation in vector-borne disease surveillance in PNG?
Yes, community participation is really central to everything we do in PNG, and for vector-borne diseases, it is no different. And institutions like Papua New Guinea Institute of Medical Research that have been conducting research for more than 52 years in this country have depended on community participation. And through this has created an environment where our project, like the Strive program and many others, have been able to easily find footing and to operate in this challenging setting. Obviously, this type of work will not be sustainable if we do not have community participation. But when we talk about community participation, it is really important to be realistic for our setting and what is appropriate, what is not appropriate, and what is sustainable, what is not. And sometimes we don't know the answers up front. And so it is really important to take steps at a time and be able to judge how a vector-borne disease program can be implemented well, including the people in the communities so that they participate, not just communities, but health facilities and the provincial health authorities, as well as the National Department of Health and the various partners, both in country as well as in Australia.
Yeah, you're right, isn't it? We've got to bring everybody along to make sure that the work that's been done is sustainable and is truly beneficial to all the stakeholders.
Yeah.
Capacity for surveillance is only part of the solution. The other part is obviously the capacity to respond once an issue is identified. Is Strive working to support response as well as surveillance? And if so, how?
One of the key priorities, you know, that was kind of articulated by partners really early was that even though they may already have, you know, certain response strategies that can be activated or triggered, you know, to be able to respond to a particular outbreak, one of the major issues is the timeliness of the data with which they can make that decision. So certainly with Strive, our emphasis so far in the program has absolutely been around trying to strengthen the timeliness with which data is in the hands of people who can then activate the response mechanisms that already exist within their control program for malaria and neglected tropical diseases. So that's the number one priority. I think as we are kind of moving forward with doing that, the kind of dialogue that is occurring, particularly in those local stakeholder discussions and at the national level, is around the actual response mechanism itself and where there might be room to improve that as access to the data is available. So I think it's definitely a key consideration in our program, but the response is absolutely, you know, within the remit of the national and provincial health authorities in the locations, and the way that Strive is embedded, you know, with those partners is to sort of first and foremost, bring the data through in a timely way to enable those decisions around increased education and awareness in certain communities where there might be a concern that there's an outbreak occurring, you know, encouraging community members to be aware and to look at their environment and breeding grounds have been shown, you know, in other settings to be effective if they can be implemented in a timely way.
Moses, PNG has only seen a few cases of COVID-19 to date. Could you talk a little bit about what your institute, the Institute for Medical Research, has been doing to support the national government's preparedness and response to the threat of pandemic?
So prior to the pandemic, the PNG Institute of Medical Research was the only institute in country conducting PCR testing, but...
Sorry, Moses, just let me quickly interject there. PCR stands for polymerase chain reaction, and it's the laboratory test that's used to confirm whether or not somebody has been exposed to the SARS-CoV-2 virus and hence has COVID-19.
This was for research purposes, and it wasn't for diagnostics. But because of the lack of domestic capacity to test for COVID-19, we had to try to scale up and optimize the PCR capacity that we had in country using the WHO protocols to start testing for COVID-19. And we have been fortunate to have many partners who have helped us along the way, and particularly DFAT, WHO, and the National Department of Health, to be able to enable PNG IMR to do the COVID-19 testing.
So this meant that the national government had capacity in country to test definitively for COVID-19, correct?
Yep. So definitely we now have the capacity to test for COVID-19 in country, but there are still many challenges scaling up and the number of testing that we could do per day and the turnaround time. So those are big challenges that I guess we are working on to try to address, because as a developing country, we only have few sites that are able to do COVID-19 testing, and this is not done in all the provinces. And so samples collection done in the provinces have to be sent to either Port Moresby or to Goroka. And so those are huge challenges. For example, if there are ban on flights, then samples are going to be affected. It becomes costly for us to try to find other ways of shipping samples around. And so we still have many challenges, and we're working around the clock with our partners to try to improve the testing capacity for COVID-19 in PNG.
Leanne, there's been a big investment by the Australian government, but also others, in the purchase of gene expert machines. Could you talk a little about what a gene expert machine is and what impact it's had on COVID-19 testing capacity in PNG?
Sure. A gene expert is a closed system sort of PCR diagnostics machine that allows for the diagnosis of a pathogen without a lot of the manual processing steps that are required to undertake the usual laboratory process of DNA or RNA extraction and an RT-qPCR. So it allows molecular diagnosis of a pathogen to kind of go more towards the clinic interface. And therefore, you know, in a situation like the COVID-19 pandemic, can mean that rather than having, you know, testing occurring in two central laboratory-based locations, that you can access a network of gene expert instruments that exist across PNG, overseen by the Central Public Health Laboratory for the diagnosis of other infectious diseases like tuberculosis, for example, and tap into that network and allow, higher rates of testing, as Moses alluded to. But it also depends on the availability of test-specific cartridges, specific for each pathogen that you want to test. And certainly globally, there's been an extreme shortage in the availability of these cartridges. And so that's been a limitation in many settings, including PNG, in terms of getting access to enough COVID-19 gene expert cartridges.
The STRIVE program and the Australian government have been dedicated partners with the PNG government to get the Molecular Hub up and running. The Molecular Hub being the laboratory in Port Moresby that has the capacity to perform PCR and now test for COVID-19. Moses, could you tell us more about that?
Yep. So definitely the STRIVE program played a really critical part in enabling the Molecular Hub to be functional at the time when we had the pandemic. And the key role that the project did was enable capacity in terms of the laboratory capacity with regards to equipment as well as the human resource. We had personnel who are employed through the program who are already working on the malaria and arboviruses molecular diagnostics at the time when the pandemic happened. Also, it has established relationships between the various institutions within PNG, like not only PNG IMR and Australian institutions, but also the Central Public Health Laboratory and UPNG, University of Papua New Guinea staff who are working together as part of the molecular program. And this really enabled the, it played an integral part in enabling COVID-19 testing in PNG.
Thanks, Moses and Leanne. That's been a really interesting chat. As a last question, can I ask you, what do you see as the successes that Strive has had that perhaps other countries in the Indo-Pacific region can learn from?
From the outset, we very deliberately embarked upon a facilitated process of understanding the needs and priorities of all in PNG in this space and the gaps and where people, you know, felt most strongly Strive was well positioned to, you know, to be able to fill those gaps, you know, strengthen capacity, strengthening laboratory capacity, but also working in tight partnership with provincial health authorities and strengthening capacity for mosquito surveillance and monitoring, you know, being able to understand this from partners and co-develop the Strive priorities and work plan has been a huge strength of the project to shape the program to the needs on the ground, to ensure that we are learning from each other and operating from a platform of equitable contribution and benefit has been absolute aim and priority of the program. From the outset, we went through a partnership agreement to identify their priorities, their strengths, their weaknesses, their reasons for wanting to engage and take on leadership of Strive PNG. That process has really enabled Strive to be what it is, and to ensure we are focusing our efforts in the areas of most need that will therefore hopefully generate evidence of most use to the program going forward.
Anything to add, Moses?
Yeah, I think I just want to emphasize the point that Leanne made about equitable and genuine partnerships. Those have been the critical lessons that made the program work really well in a difficult place like PNG. We many times make it look easy, but in reality, it's always challenging because there are so many small as well as big things to overcome, but the equitable and genuine relationships enables trust in every partner that we deal with. And that's like really important for people to know not just what we can contribute, but the limitations we have as well, not only individually, but as our institutions, our limitations, our strengths, what we can do, what we can't, and being frank about it from both sides, the PNG side as well as the Australia institutions. This has a flow-on effect on every partner, particularly in the from the PNG side. Those that we work with, they look at the activities go and who's leading it, and they trust and they know that we can be able to work together well.
You both articulate very clearly the genuine, respectful relationship that has been developed over time. Leanne Robinson, Moses Lauman, thank you for making time to speak with me on Contain This.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
That was Leanne Robinson, head of the Vector-Borne Disease and Tropical Public Health Group at the Burnett Institute, and Moses Lauman, the head of the Vector-Borne Disease Unit at the Papua New Guinea Institute for Medical Research. We've heard about the threat posed by drug-resistant malaria in PNG and the important work the Strive PNG project is doing in response. Our next episode airs in 2 weeks. In it, I speak with Guy Thwaites, Professor of Infectious Diseases at the University of Oxford and the Director of the Wellcome Trust's major overseas programs in Vietnam. Associate Professor Gregory Fox, a clinical trialist at the Wilcock Institute for Medical Research and project lead of the antimicrobial resistance project V-Resist, and Dr. Nguyen Thao An, the Wilcock Institute's Vietnam Country Director, about their important work combating antimicrobial resistance in the country. Until then, you can engage with us through our social media channels. Links are in the program notes, or just search Contain This in your favourite podcast app. I'm Adam Craig.
stay well, and speak soon.